I am deeply saddened by what I find in today's juridic societies and groups. What I find most disappointing is that the topic of discussion most frequently brought up is what qualifies a person as a druid. Take a moment and consider the image you envision as being a druid. I dare say everyone will see something different, but what will remain the same will be the certain cultural calling cards handed down through Gaelic Celtic tradition. Therein lies the hottest debate of all within druidic circles. There are many who believe that only those with Celtic bloodlines can truly be druidic. This is definitely not the case. Druidry is instead an Indo-European culture. Because of migration, this now encompasses many different peoples. To say that being Celtic solely qualifies a person as a druid takes away the spiritual essence which is the foundation upon which a druid's magic is built. This belief reduces the esoteric mystery of druidry to that of staunch elitism. When I imagine a druid, I see a person rich in sovereign power who walks and operates in other worlds unfathomable to those of average understanding. It is a tradition of ancient cultural folklore handed down by word of mouth from ancestors to the initiate. Such an initiate does not need a particular bloodline in order to have the zeal to become a practicing druid. And this is the key, for druidry is not a title earned by lineage, but a mantle one puts on and makes evident by druidic work. Druidry is absolutely a practical, traditional way of life. Anyone, anywhere has the right to deem himself a druid. No one can ever take that claim away from another. However, anyone who does make such a claim must also understand that just because a claim is made does not mean that claim has to be recognized by others. I can call myself a poet all day long, but if I never write a poem, am I really a poet? This further proves that druidry is not just a title, but a way of life. A druid is first and foremost a scholar, one who seeks knowledge and gleans wisdom from ancient druidic lore. Such wisdom is then applied to the surrounding environment through shamanic healing, and this is done through both physical and metaphysical processes. A druid knows that the measure of health and wealth and power directly correlates to the community wherein the druid exists. The druid actively seeks to overcome all sickness and disease, which in turn strengthens and enhances the druid's capabilities. The pathway to greatness the druid walks is directly outlined in the traditional knowledge of the sacred Oum. Each few represents another step upon the druid's initiatory path, and each ikme, or group of fews, represents another cycle of separation, realization, and understanding. That many professing druids today know nothing whatsoever of the sacred Oum frustrates me deeply. The Oum is the most pertinent tradition that is necessary for any druidic application. Another must for any professed druid is the art of bardry. This is how the druid passes on the wisdom learned and instills magic upon the cosmos. This is done through either song, poem, or epic storytelling. Therefore, a druid must also strive to know all about the Tuath Da Danann, the pantheon of the gods. Such bardry is rife with esoteric mystery to be meditated and pondered upon. This is what the druid uses to explore other worlds and commune with the spiritual essence of nature. In conclusion, to be a druid requires solitary, diligent study of ancient Celtic traditional lore, familiarity of the sacred Oum, application of gleaned knowledge through the healing of sickness and disease, the ability to pierce the veil of the Shi and be aware of the other world, and a knack for expressing wisdom learned through song, poem, or story. A true druid is recognized not by bloodline, but through deeds and expression of wisdom.
The following is a lecture written by my best friend, my spiritual brother, and colleague. It is titled, The Ancestors. As we make our way down the path of the Druid, we encounter the ancestors, those of our genetic and spiritual past. These include those Druids of old as well that were not of our direct ancestry, but of ancestral tradition, as often ancient cultures, especially Celtic, fostered foreigners into their tribes and welcomed sojourners as brethren. The pioneering Celtic spirit extended to the acceptance of pioneering foreigners, and these are considered ancestors as well. It should be understood that while Druidism is intrinsically Celtic, that there is no exclusion based upon race or culture, so long as Druidism adheres to the Celtic lore and or tradition of our ancient past and the modern interpretations based on authentic interpretations of it. The blood, the spiritual and physical, of the ancestors runs through our veins and fuels our Druidry even today. From a purely physical view, there is never a point of complete diminishing when it comes to blood relation. If you have an Irish ancestor, for example, you will forever be Irish, for his living DNA will be present in you eternally and in your bloodline, carried on in your progeny into perpetuity. The amount can only be reduced by degrees. Consider standing upon a beach facing the ocean. The water represents the complete dissolution of the bloodline you possess. You can cross half the distance to the water, which represents one generation. Half the distance again, another generation. In fact, if one can only ever travel half the distance every time per generation, one will never reach the water's edge, nor dissolution of the genetic line. This rings with a certain finality, a certain permanence. The Celtic spirit cannot die so long as the ancestors exist, and they shall exist so long as a single descendant draws breath. Druid, it is you and I who are charged with keeping the Druid tradition alive. How to do this? First, there are the voices of the ancestors in living tradition. Even in the smoky pubs of Celtic countries can we still find the old stories being sung, being passed down, taught orally just as thousands of years ago they were told. As they sat around feasting and drinking and telling the heroic tales of Cú and Finn, the same moon shone its great light and the same sun shone the face at the dawn upon the morn. This is the continuity of the Celtic spirit. Though the world rises and falls, the Druid ever remembers. Secondly, the cultivation of memory keeps the tradition breathing. Druidry depends so heavily upon memory and lore that writing is thought to have been outright taboo, even foreboding. Verse and song, which held the keys to tradition, were learned line and verse, word for word, sometimes committing a line per day to memory, which over time would have compounded to epic proportions. Imagine learning the old stories and reciting them to harp music, and the feasting halls at the request of kings and chieftains. Kings and nobility were so dependent upon Druids because decisions were made on precedent. What did the last king do when faced with a similar decision? How did he fare? Did the gods favor him? What would the Druid suggest his course of action be? Druids were the power behind the seat of sovereignty because they held the immense power of the past in the storehouse of their memory. Memory is the seat of power. The Ohm is an encoding system for mnemonic development. As a classifying system, we can attribute anything or any concept to a specific Ohm so that it may be reduced to a symbol, stored in the memory and recalled at will, invoked by a sight, a symbol, a sound, a word, a tone. Alliterative rhyme is the bard's tool for this and will aid the bard or druid in his path to sovereignty. Memory is key and Ohm is the aid. This is further evidence that Ohm is the foundation of Druidism and must be studied and internalized. The initiate of Druidism will benefit from this, and it is key to power in tradition. We keep the ancestors breathing by memory. The stones themselves speak the ancestors' voices if we are but to listen for them. That which is carved in stone or written is valuable to the Druid, as today has become the modern man's memory. Tradition or written lore must be learned in order to understand the ancient views of the ancestors. And on the ancestors, however Christianized, the record might have become.